Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
Hello, welcome to Know the Faith, Defend the Faith. My name is William Hemsworth. It is great to be with you all again. One of the things I like to do on this show, in addition to apologetics, is to give other resources for evangelism and catechesis. And that's why I'm really excited to have my guest today, Mario Castabile. He's the executive director of A Ray of Hope, a devout Catholic and family man. He's been a successful producer for music, film, television, for organizations such as MTV, VH1, Discovery Channel, Sony Music, and Def Jam. He's committed to utilizing his talents to do God's will and to unite families and help them grow closer to God. Mario, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just great. Blessed.
Well, great. Glad to hear it. I thank you for coming on today.
My pleasure, William. I'm happy to be here with you.
Great. So you started your organization, A Ray of Hope. How did you start that organization up? What was that like getting started?
Sure. Well, we have to take a couple steps back. I'm a music and film producer, and I've been in the recording business for over 35 years. And so my business has always been media, film, content, concerts, events. That was my professional side, but I have a sort of faith journey, like all of us, a faith walk, that was sort of the impetus or what actually converted in crashed the two together. So when I started to breach my 50s, I started some soul searching. And Cradle Catholic, I raised five kids in the faith, Catholic family, put my kids through Catholic grammar school, Catholic high school. Some of them went to Catholic college. So, you know, for all intents and purposes, we went to church on Sunday. We got the sacraments, the children to receive the sacraments, all that kind of stuff. But when I hit my 50s, I went on a bit of a soul searching, trying to understand what the meaning of life was. I mean, at some point in time, we all consider that, life will end. At least I did at that point. And I realized, you know what, if I were to die at this moment, if my life were to end, where would I end up? Would I go to heaven? Would I go to hell? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Is there a God? I mean, do I really believe in this stuff? And I started to get scared about what the truths were. So I went on a journey. I went searching and to try to rediscover what it meant to be Catholic, if I truly believed in the teachings of the church. And we don't have 5 hours here, of course, but Essentially there was a multiple events that God put in my life that started to verify that, the teachings of the church were real. I was inspired to develop my intellect, to understand, what the teachings of Christ were and why we as Catholics did what we did, to understand the saints, the sacraments, the Eucharist, the validity of the teachings of our fathers, the teachings of the fathers of the church. And the more and more I read, the more and more I understood, the Holy Spirit instilled a desire, a vigor in me to share what I was learning. Essentially what was happening, William, is I was falling in love with Christ. I never really, I never really felt that. I mean, there were spots in my life where this is great and I love church and I love God, but I never really connected with him on a deeper level. So as that started to happen, I was involved professionally in some things, ironically enough, in God's ultimate wisdom and plan. And I was producing a Christian band called Sacred Road, and I was spending a lot of time in Nashville, and I never produced Christian music before. And I was trying to understand how Christian music was. And as I was doing that, I met like Mercy Me, Casting Crowns, Amy Grant, all these Michael W. Smith, all these amazing artists that I really knew very little about. And I was struck by, first of all, their deep spirituality, But more importantly, for me as a musician, I was struck by the immense quality and power and the way our evangelical brothers and sisters shared the faith. So it was sort of at that given moment that I said, boy, I mean, I wish Catholics had concerts and films and video and all this stuff that was happening in the evangelical world, but I felt Catholics were sort of lacking in that quality or presentation to share the faith. So it was at that given moment where, you know, the Lord hit me over the head and said, look, you know, you have this skill set, you have this talent. Why don't you bring it to the church? Bring it to my church, the Catholic Church. So essentially, that's how Array of Hope was inspired, to create events similar to what our evangelical brothers and sisters were. So our first concerts were sort of like, if you can imagine, you know, Steubenville, you know, retreats, you know, on steroids in your local Catholic church, you know, in the gymnasium. And it was cool because Catholics weren't used to seeing lights and smoke machines and lasers and films and live witness. And that's how Array of Hope started. And we started to grow and people started seeing, hey, this is really cool, you know, and Array of Hope is like this, you know, evangelical sort of approach, you know, charismatic approach on steroids, you know, mobily that we could bring them into our local power. So I needed to give you that context because, sure. You know, the Lord instilled that desire in me, which in turn, you know, inspired me to start Array of Hope.
Great. So you're going around, you're doing these events, you're doing these retreats, pandemic hits. Of course, all of us had to change the way we do things. How did Array of Hope how did you have to adapt?
Yeah. So part of the Array of Hope journey has been that we, you know, we grew into doing concerts and then we did a lot of confirmation retreats. And then a lot of the content that we create is original content. So people would ask, where do you get our content from? And we would start delivering our content to EWTN and Catholic, Catholic network, television network and Catholic faith network. And then we created content for FORM, St. Augustine Institute. So we were evolving to the sort of like this multimedia organization. And then as a result of that growth, we expanded on social media. So we were all about all these components of sharing the faith through media. But a majority of what we did was events. I mean, that was the bottom line. So when COVID hit in started to evolve and started to become really pronounced and aware in February, I remember distinctively, I came back from Nashville on March 9th, and we had a confirmation retreat, family retreat on that Monday. I flew in, we did that retreat in front of about 300 kids. And then we had another three events that weekend. And that's when things started happening. Schools were closing, businesses were closing. And then the weekend got canceled, and then next weekend got canceled, and then April was canceled. And before you know it, everything was closing up. So I said, oh boy, you know, for an event organization with no events, what do we do? And William, to tell you the truth, I really had to discern. I said, well, maybe that's it. You know, maybe we just do social media and we go smaller in an organization. And I asked for the Holy Spirit to speak to me, to really reveal what we needed to do as an organization. And essentially it started to be very clear that, look, your content is good. You're able to transform people by what you create. You need to continue doing that. And you need to figure out a space that you can do it in. So as these virtual retreats and events started opening up with our, these Catholic conferences that happened during the summer. Sure, you remember all that. And we actually participated one in the Chastity Project. And I said, well, this is kind of cool. But then when I went into the portal, it was really, which was very great. It was very good, but there was an abundance of videos that people clicked and watched. And the Array of Hope experience is very engaging, very interactive. We invite people onto the stage. We have trivia games. We get people to involve to sing along. We do like dance routines. It's a whole interactive component. And I said, well, if Array of Hope is going to exist in this in this space, we have to figure out an interactive platform. It has to be very engaging. It can't just be watching a movie or listening to something. So that's where it got tough. And we had to really stretch on the technology and find out how we can incorporate a multiple of hardwares and softwares to make and develop an interactive platform. And I believe that we figured that out. We figured out something that is engaging and draws people into a space that they're in, part of the event as it unfolds. And that's what this Rise Up interactive, you know, virtual event has become.
So how is the event interactive? Because I can imagine that's probably hard to do in an online environment.
Yeah. Well, the way it's interactive is that we have, it immediately opens up with people sharing the faith and talking. And then there's a chat bar. So the kids and families are used to writing stuff and they make comments, go back and forth. And then we have, there's discussions and polls where people can share, you know, we ask, hey, we want to know a little bit about you. And then we start throwing out questions and they engage in the polls immediately. There's an opportunity where people can do a Q&A and we share the faith and then we do like a little trivia game with them. But William, this is the part that I'm really proud about. We developed something called a virtual stage, which is completely unique to a Ray of Hope. And quite frankly, quite unique to even in the secular world, is that we're able to bring people into our forum virtually. So they click on a button. That button, well, that's for volunteers, like we would at a live event. They click on a button, and when they click on that button, they sort of go into a virtual green room, and they meet one of our producers, and the producer will say, hey, Joey, how are you? Listen, you got to behave now. Listen, a lot of people are watching you. We kind of read in the Riot Act. Don't say anything stupid. Right. And then we're able to straighten out their camera, adjust them a little bit technically with the sound. And then what happens is that, and then they go into a green waiting room space, and then we beam them up, Scotty, and we push a button, and they're with our entertainers and performers and presenters live. Wow. And we do trivia games and we do interactive components. And it's so exciting. I mean, and then their peers get to see them. It's funny. We do like scavenger hunt. We do, you know, we play games like how well you know the Bible, and we test them on scripture. And is this a scripture verse or is it a lyric from a song? You know, there's all kinds of games that we develop, and that's how it becomes interactive. And the kids love it. It's really pretty exciting.
It definitely sounds exciting for kids to keep them engaged and learning and focused. So what's required of parishes or other organizations to offer this type of event?
It's nothing. All they have to do is reach out to us, and they could reach out to us through our website, which is array, A-R-R-A-Y of hope.net. And they could come into our website and they click on the events tab. And the events tab, one of them is virtual events, which is the very first tab. And it's completely self-explanatory. Everything's there for them to understand and read about. And there's videos that demonstrate the presentation. And then they just have to reach out to us and make arrangements for us to arrange for an event at their parish.
So what's the cost to host an event and what's the turnaround time to get it going?
Yeah. Well, the turnaround time is that, you know, generally, you know, we're booking in the fall. A lot of things are happening in the fall. So as soon as if you want to do something in the fall, you have to reach out to us now. Although we booked several Lent retreat programs and we're doing a lot of stuff in January already. Oh, so it's really up to whatever time frame you guys, the parishes are working in. The cost is, you know, when we've done live events in the past, there's always a stipend. So we have, based on the size of the room that we're performing in, the number of attendees, the length of the event, and we formulate some sort of stipend or cost to the parish. That really hasn't gone away. We have two programs. That program one still exists. So if a parish has a money set aside, a budget, dues or things that parents and families contribute to, we will speak to the pastor or the DRE and say, what is available? What do you need? And then we work out a specific stipend. So that hasn't gone away. But one of the things I found out in speaking to parishes and dioceses all over the country is that there are dioceses and parishes that are suffering. People have been furloughed, laid off. Parishes are shrinking. There's no money. So we have a second option. And the second option is that we take the responsibility completely away from the parish and we kind of put it on the families. And then we charge a per family registrant fee. And that ranges anywhere between $15 to $25 per registrant. And the great thing is that, you know, we're just not at... We want the family to attend this event regardless. And that's that model seems to be working pretty well because it gives everyone a choice and an option based on what their need is.
So between $15 and $25 on a per family basis, how long do these virtual events normally last?
Generally, we've been doing them about an hour and a half, an hour and 40 minutes. If we're doing something for a young audience, we've learned early on that, you know, someone that's 13, 14, 15 years old has an attention span of about 45 seconds. So we have to work really hard to keep them engaged. But to our surprise, they're engaged. We've done a couple of events where, you know, an hour and a half went by and we're done and they've been active the entire time. And we have analytics that we can judge their interactability. And it's pretty surprisingly so, but I wouldn't go beyond an hour and a half, 2 hours tops, you know, for this kind of, because they're staring at a computer or on a phone. Unlike a normal retreat that we do at a parish that could go, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours in many cases. Right. So in answer to your question, you know, an hour and a half, an hour and 40 minutes, I think is generally pretty good.
Okay. That's not bad at all. And what normally happens during these events? Kind of what's that, if you could kind of lay out the format for us, for the listeners?
Yeah. I mean, the nature, the charism of who we are is media, you know, so we play music, you know, we share the faith through music, we do films, we have talks, we have witness. We found early on peer-to-peer ministry is really effective. So young people share their faith stories and their faith walks. And that's powerful. I mean, you know, just sharing that. So combined within that period of an hour and a half, those are all the components that we kind of put in there. And we alter it. So it's not something that's, you know, you're not listening to three talks in a row. You know, we would have some music, we have an interactive game, then we do a short talk, and then we have some interaction about what does that talk mean to you, and we'll do a poll, what does it mean, and then we'll go into another game or another song. And so we're constantly varying the flow and the energy, so they're always engaged and always trying to surprise them as to what's next.
That's my understanding, and forgive me if this has already happened, that you have a free weekly virtual show that's going to be starting up.
Yeah. Thanks for asking about that. So we have two tracks that we're developing. It's the Rise Up Virtual Event or Virtual Retreat. I beg your pardon, Virtual mm-hmm. Retreat. And that is what we've been talking about the entire time here, where parishes can just come in and sort of hire or bring in a ray of hope for a specific need. Now, in my conversations with parishes around the country is that, you know, their weekly formation, they usually would have once a week where families would get together or they have a formation talk or formation gathering. They're unable to do that. And people flat out ask us, hey, can you do something like that? Can you provide something like that for us? So it dawned on us, well, maybe we can. And what we were inspired to do is create an event that happens every week, which is called Rise Up Faith and Focus. And it's a weekly broadcasted event that is going to start in November. I would just say, you know, stay tuned on our social media or on our website as to when that's going to be launched. But we already have several dioceses that are on board to share this amongst all their parishes just so they could tap in. And this is going to be like a Catholic variety show. So there's going to be music, there's going to be humor, there's going to be, you know, a man in the street segment, there's going to be profiles of families that are trying to live a virtuous life, you know, families that are homeschooling their kids, really sort of like news stuff is going to be in there. There's going to be talks. So it's going to be kind of cool, you know, that it's something that people will really be enthralled to check out on a weekly basis.
Sure. And as I was checking out your website and the YouTube channel, the Facebook page, and of course the Twitter, the follow Ray of Hope on all those platforms, you'll really be blessed. Is the quality of the productions that you have, it isn't some fly by night. I mean, you're putting your all into these and they do grab your attention. So can you speak to the quality of what you're doing of the videos and the event that you're putting on?
Yeah. Well, in my secular life, when I produced for corporations, business, the music and film industry, quality, in order for you to survive, and I was self-employed, you have to be great. You have to be competitive. And one of the things that I learned is quality is paramount in order to deliver a message. And in the latter part of my career, I did a lot of commercials, and a commercial is designed to draw people in to sell a product. In order to do that, it has to be relevant, it has to be great, and it has to be attractive, and it has to be contemporary. So I used all those techniques when we create things for A Ray of Hope. And it's really, you know, the intellect, the psyche doesn't change whether they're talking about faith or whether you're talking about secular business or products. People are attracted to stuff that is drawn to them, to what they like, their personal tastes and dislikes, right? So if you create something that's attractive, and whether it be through music or film, and the quality is good, they're going to be drawn to it. And the thing is, and then we kind of reveal, you know, the teachings of the church through that. I always found that, you know, it's a shame. And Catholics, I think, are guilty of this. It's a shame that the conduit, the message, is never reached because the deliverable is so inferior to the message. In other words, the way we're delivering the message doesn't resound or hit the person we're trying to reach, because we compromise in creating a website, or compromise in creating music or a film. But that's okay. It's good enough. I can't tell you how many times I heard that when we're trying to pitch a Ray of Hope. This is fine. It's okay. No, it's not okay. It has to be great. Why would we compromise in the quality? Because the message is the Lord's message, right? I mean, why would we negate how it has to be reached? Because we have to deliver that message, or the culture's not going to receive it. So I'm glad you asked this question, because I get excited and really pumped up about that. We have to be great. We have to be extraordinary to deliver the message, particularly in today's culture, because it demands it, or else it's not going to be, they're not going to get it. They're not going to be receiving it. And there's a lot of apostolates that are doing great work now that get that. They understand that. The film quality has to be like what they would see at the movies, right? The music has to be as good as they would hear on the radio, you know, in order to attract the younger audience and people that are really drawn to content. So that's how I feel about that.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I was watching one of the videos, and I'm not making this up. My 7-year-old twins and my 9-year-old daughter left their computers that they're doing virtual learning on. This happened yesterday, and they ran over to see what was happening. So they really enjoyed it.
And cool.
So Mariette, how can people learn more about A Ray of Hope and how you're serving the church with your ministry?
Yeah, just simply go to Array of Hope, ARRAY of hope.net. And everything's on that website. There's a lot of content. There's a lot of things that you see that we do. We have podcasts, we have films, we have music. We release music all the time. We have our virtual events. The only thing that we're not really doing is our live events, and that's up there, but you'll see what our live events look like. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that we'll be able to return to those in the next year. We hope, but great. Yeah.
So any parting words before I let you go to enjoy the rest of your day?
Yeah, well, you know, I want to leave the listener, especially if it's a DRE or a catechetical leader or someone that's involved in the diocese, you know, with a sense of hope. You know, I in my conversations, I sensed a lot of despair and a sense of like, what are we going to do? What's going to happen? And we have to have hope, and in the true sense of the virtue of hope, that Christ will deliver in his promises, right? I mean, we can't forget that, you know, God is in control, right? And this might be an opportunity that we're, as a church, really need to stretch and think outside the box and find different ways to draw people back to Christ and the church. So we should think of it as an opportunity. You know, let's figure out, I mean, a lot of the stuff that most people were doing wasn't working anyway. I mean, you see it with all the stats, people leaving the church, especially now with all the craziness that the church is experiencing with, you know, a lot of the, a lot of the issues and problems that the church is experiencing. So this is an opportunity. This is a place where the Lord is encouraging us to, hey, you know what? We have to trust in me, Jesus, right? We have to, we have to remember the virtue of patience and just be patient that, you know, things are going to happen if we're diligent and obedient to what the Lord is showing us. So I want to leave you all with that, you know, that we need to really, and we need to be in communion with one another. We are the universal church, and often it seems like, you know, parishes and dioceses are in sirloins. What's the word? They're separated, right?
Right.
Yeah. And we're not speaking or, in communion with one another and sharing our gifts and sharing what we've learned. We need to work together, you know? Let's help one another to make stuff happen.
Right. Let's work together for the cause of evangelization. And
yeah.
So, Mary, I thank you so much for coming on and just sharing your story, your organization. Thank you for all the work you're doing.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. I wish you all the best, and God bless you and all your work.
All right, thank you very much. God bless you.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, HALO is here to help. HALO is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, HALO has something for everyone. HALO is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.halo.com. .app/breadbox.